Let's open with hymn number 428. Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. And to the Holy Ghost. Father, who of thy fatherly goodness hast been mindful of us poor miserable sinners, and hast given thy beloved Son to be our shepherd, not only to nourish us by his word, but also to defend us from sin, death, and the devil. We beseech thee, grant us thy Holy Spirit, that even as this shepherd doth know us and succor us in every affliction, we also may know him, and trusting in him, seek help and comfort in him from our hearts, obey his voice, and obtain eternal salvation through the same, thy Son Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. Sunday after Easter is found in the 34th chapter of Ezekiel, the 11th through the 16th verse. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. And I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the second chapter of 1 Peter, the 21st through the 25th verse. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Here ends the epistle. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Then was the Lord Jesus known of the disciples in the breaking of bread. Hallelujah. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Hallelujah. Shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Here ends the gospel. We now confess the Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and of all things visible and invisible,
and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn number 431.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is found in the 7th chapter of Micah, the 14th through the 20th verse. Feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage, which dwells solitarily in the wood in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old. According to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things. The nations shall see, and be confounded at all their might. They shall lay their hands upon their mouth, their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God, and shall fear because of thee. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob, and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are thy words. Show us in them thy Son, Jesus Christ, our good shepherd. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, the prophet Micah declared, "Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage?" None of the gods of the nations pardoned the sins of their worshippers. Men do not even pardon each other unless it be for some personal gain or for their desire is for revenge and not for mercy. Oh, some of the gods demanded sacrifices in order to placate them. Like the priests of Baal, their worshippers were driven to all sorts of labors, seeking to gain their gods' favor and blessing. But none of these gods could pardon the people. None of them could take away their sins. No, even a king or a president, when he pardons for somebody for a crime, cannot wipe away the guilt of that sin. Only the Lord can truly grant pardon, for only the Lord can take away sin and impute his own righteousness. Only the Lord had such power that he could overcome our transgressions by his mercy. We could well ask the same question this way: who is this God who pardons iniquity and passes by the transgression of his people? Where can we find him, and where may we partake of his goodness? Jesus answers, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am he," Jesus declares to you, of whom Micah spoke when he said, "Feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage, which feeds safely in the wood, in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old." Jesus is such a shepherd who tends his flock on the finest land. The places here which Micah mentions here are rich pastures with abundant food and water. In those days, particularly in the days of King David, there was no better place for a shepherd to pasture his flocks. And so Micah is looking back on the good old days, though they were precious and few, when the people of God were at peace with their enemies and enjoyed the fruits of the land. Those times did not endure, and they could not so long as men remained sinners. And even today there are times when God blesses his people, much like he has blessed us in our land. But those times do not endure. The heart of man is filled with war and violence by nature, and very soon one nation rises up against another to take what it has. Even when the whole nation prospers, there are many poor and oppressed among God's people who must bear many troubles. Even in the best times in our nation, still Christians live under the cross. Not all of them bear it to the same degree or at the same time, but we all have endured such dark times as the disciples endured when Jesus was in the tomb, when the shepherd did not seem to be near, and the wolves gathered all about, ready to devour them. So it seemed to Israel when they were in Egypt. They cried out for one to rescue them from their cruel taskmasters, and a shepherd who would take them at the hand of the Lord and lead them out. Yet Israel also knew much trouble, as the Lord was leading them from Egypt. On the one hand, they saw the Lord perform many miracles, but on the other, they were chased by a vicious and mighty army, suffered the heat and weariness of the desert. At times, provisions were sparse, and they could see no food or water which would provide their next meal. Halfway there, a warring nation, Amalek, met them on the way, and they had to fight for their lives. Very quickly, they did not notice the gentle hand of their God, but only the grievous trouble they endured while following him and his servant Moses. But what happened during all these times? Pharaoh and his army was drowned in the Red Sea as Israel passed through safely. The Amalekites were defeated by a band of former slaves who were untrained in war. God provided manna from heaven and water from a rock. And when they came to the promised land and finally entered therein, no people could stand before Israel when they trusted in the name of the Lord. These are those marvelous things which Micah recalls. And he piously declares at a time when Israel was once more in captivity in the land of Babylon, so shall it be. Still the Lord is that same shepherd. For why would the Lord, who so shepherded his people, change his heart toward them when they were still with him and under his care and following his voice, when he had not yet fulfilled the promise which he made to Jacob and to his father Abraham? Yea, he declares, despite all that you may see, the nations shall see and be confounded at all their might. And they shall lay their hand upon their mouth, and their ears shall be deaf. And they shall lick the dust like a serpent, and they shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God, and shall fear because of thee. This is the promise of our Lord. Even when he does not seem to be a shepherd, yet he is still leading us surely and certainly, keeping us until the day when Christ Jesus shall visit his enemies with his might and us with his mercy. He protects his flock with his mighty rod, with which he drives back all who would tear the sheep from his protection. When Jesus rose from the dead, his enemies got their first taste of dread. These men were in a panic. The tomb of Jesus was empty. The soldiers who were set at a watch were terrified out of their minds when the stone was rolled away before their very eyes. This was not the news that the enemies of Jesus expected to hear. But now, what are they going to do? How can they deny what has already taken place? In desperation, they bribed the soldiers to shut them up so that word of that miraculous event would not spread. Afterwards, they struck out at the disciples, who were now absolutely convinced that Jesus had risen just as he said. But no matter how much the unbelieving Jews persecuted their believing brethren, even when they goaded the emperor of Rome to torment the Christians, God's people were still fed. It was there in persecution, when it seemed that of all times God could not surely be with them, it was then that they had the greatest peace. Under the cross of persecution, the sheep of our Lord flourished. for their shepherd Jesus never left them. They could not see him with their eyes, but they could hear his voice, and they knew it, and they followed it. His rod and staff were there, and they experienced the comforting touch that told them that their Lord was near. For they had his baptism, and they had his supper, by which the sheep know their shepherd. Indeed, if Jesus was with his disciples before his death, preaching, baptizing, performing miracles, speaking of the kingdom of God, look at what took place after his death and resurrection. When the eye of man saw him no more, the church exploded into the world, quickly growing from a few hundred to a few thousand in one day, and then many thousands in many cities, until their numbers were so great that no part of the world was without Christians. And all of this took place when the shepherd did not seem to be near, when the sheep were persecuted and the wolves were about. And so in this manner, the enemies of Jesus were and are confounded. They exercise all their mighty power, but they do so in vain. Yes, the enemies of Christ knew dread when he rose from the dead, but such is nothing compared to what the prophet here declares they shall endure when Jesus once more shows his might openly, as he did in the days when he led his people from Egypt. On that day there will be no hole in which they can hide. And they may try to shut their ears, but to no avail, for the glory of the Lord will be revealed to all flesh, and his judgment will fall upon all those who hate him and persecuted his people. All this is a promise, and yet if we think on the fate of our enemies, surely we can find no delight in it. For the end of them will be dreadful. And though we can take comfort that the justice of God will always be carried out, we're also reminded of the justice which could have fallen upon our own heads. And so when you think of those who hate you, think also of yourself and your sins. Your enemies are only doing what is in their hearts to do. The same things that were in your heart before the Lord visited you with his mercy. The prophet asks, "Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage?" So you see, even as the prophet sees the enemies of God must fly away in his presence, yet his next thought is, "Who is a God that can so pardon my sins?" And so we must ask the same question when we examine what is in our own hearts. A heart that was once at enmity with God, even as the mind of our flesh still is. Who is such a God as this who can tell us to love our enemies, pray for and do good to those who hate us and persecute us? Even such a God who has laid down his life for us while we were still his enemies. Indeed, he laid down his life for the sheep who still reviled him and persecuted him, even as they still persecute us. How then can we not love them? Our Lord would be their shepherd too. Jesus declared that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. For that is what is necessary if they are to be protected and saved. What God of the nations is such a shepherd? Indeed, what shepherd could actually save his flock by laying down his life? A mere human shepherd might lose his life defending his flock from wild beasts. But then, what about the sheep? The beasts are still there. What a perfect opportunity once the shepherd is dead. How can a dead shepherd protect his sheep? And yet Jesus insists that it shall be so with him. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the transgression of his sheep, and yet he assures them he will continue to gather together from other folds, that is, from all over the world, his sheep until they are one flock with one shepherd. What shepherd is like this but the Lord our God, only he who could conquer by his own death and triumph over the grave by his resurrection. This he did because he delights in mercy. He will turn yet again toward us, and he will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities and cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Even so, this is the kind of shepherd our God is. One is who has forgiven the sins of his people by laying down his life and then rising from the dead. He can cast our sins into the depths because he has carried them there himself. And even as Micah could confidently affirm that God would perform all the mercy and truth which he promised to Jacob and Abraham, we also can affirm that Jesus will finish the work that he has begun with us and in us. And he shall gather all his sheep into one Christian church, and there shall be one flock under one shepherd, feeding on the best pastures, always nourished and watered, and forever at peace. May we therefore love our enemies and love one another, that wherever the sheep of our Lord may now be, they shall hear his voice, believe his word, and rejoice together with us in his salvation. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Bless these gifts, O Lord, which we offer unto thee, and make them fruitful in performing the work of the kingdom of thy dear Son. Amen. O Lord our God, how good are the things which thou hast prepared for them that love thee. Thou hast given freely to us all through thy Son, Jesus Christ. May we by faith in his name obtain those unspeakable glories which he has prepared for us in thy kingdom. We thank thee for the grace which sent Christ, the Good Shepherd, into the world, to lay down his life for the sheep, to ransom us by his blood from the power of evil, to redeem us by his passion from the punishment of our sins, and by his resurrection to liberate us from the fear and bondage of death. Grant that we may ever abide in the green pastures and still waters of his word and sacrament. Grant unto thy church all that it needs, that it may enter in the labors of the kingdom and seek the lost sheep, raise the fallen, rescue the weary, comfort the faint, restore the erring, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the imprisoned, shelter the homeless, and show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Turn the hearts of the erring away from every false shepherd, and draw them with thy pure word and doctrine, that they may be united in the one fold of thy holy church, with the only true shepherd and bishop of our souls, Jesus Christ. Let the word of the good shepherd be heard throughout the world, that in every government, in all commercial endeavors, in every college and university, in all civic life, thy son may be magnified as men either adhere to his word or are overthrown by it. Direct our path through the sin, strife, and chaos of these times, O Lord. Grant us true faith and a godly heart. Strengthen the sick, support the weak, supply the needy, and show thyself a very present help in every adversity. And when our last hour shall come, let our heart be fixed on thy promises, and because our eyes have seen thy salvation, let us depart in peace according to thy word, and be received into everlasting glory through Jesus Christ, thy Son and our Redeemer. Amen. We sing hymn number 437. Salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God. But chiefly are we bound to praise thee for the glorious resurrection of thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the very Paschal Lamb which was offered for us, and hath taken away the sins of the world. Who by his death hath destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, hath restored to us everlasting life. Therefore with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee, and saying, trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Saying, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take and eat. This is the truth.
true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Our King.
be the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.